One of the things that I always remember from Easter's when I was a minister was you were always planning for Easter Sunday before Good Friday. Because, of course, they come very quickly. You haven't got time to prepare something between Good Friday and Easter Sunday. But maybe that was a good thing. Because you know that whenever Jesus spoke about the cross, he always went on to say, and on the third day, he will rise again. We're thinking, obviously, about the resurrection and the reality of that. But I was surprised to read recently that, according to surveys, a surprising number of people in this country still believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. One survey actually said 50% said yes, 34% said no, and 16% said don't know. The headline in the paper about that was, it had a sort of scepticism and a sense of wonder about it. Half of Britain still believes in the resurrection. The problem, of course, it makes no difference to their lives. The issue for them is not the reality of the resurrection, but the relevance of the resurrection. Yes, Jesus rose from the dead. So what? What difference does it make? Does it really matter? And I want to reflect on that for a few minutes this Easter morning. What is the relevance of the resurrection? And I want to suggest it's a key that opens up many doors. Firstly, of course, I would suggest it answers some of our toughest questions. The questions we find that we struggle with. For example, is there a God? Now, sometimes you'll know that all sorts of evidence is put forward for the existence of God. They were sometimes called the proofs of God, but they're not, of course. The design of the universe, the need for a first cause to set everything going, the moral awareness of humanity, that kind of universal religious consciousness that humanity has had through the centuries and so on. All of those arguments are helpful evidence, but they're always inconclusive. You cannot prove the existence of God or disprove the existence of God through arguments. And that's why the Bible isn't bothered about that at all, because you remember it begins, in the beginning God. It assumes the existence of God. But it goes on to say through its pages, and if you want to know this God, and you want to know there is a God and what this God is like, look at Jesus. The most compelling argument for the existence of God is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. For Jesus shows us that God is real, that personal, that he's holy, that he's loving, that he's just, that he's forgiving. And could say, he who has seen me has seen the Father, has seen God. His resurrection authenticates his claims to be God and to reveal God. It decisively points to that answer. If you're convinced of the truth of the resurrection, you will inevitably be convinced of the existence of God, because Jesus told us there was a God, told us that he was the Son of God. And the resurrection proves to us, affirms to us, the integrity of his words. Jesus is who he said he is, did what he said he was. There is a God. He shows us. There was a church choir performed Stainer's Crucifixion one Easter time. And it went so well that the choir master wrote across the poster for the Stainer's Crucifixion, "The crucifixion, well done everybody." And someone wrote across it, "The resurrection, well done God." The resurrection is God's yes to Jesus' life, teaching, ministry, and death. But what about a second question that many feel today? Which religion then should I follow if there is a God? There's a bewildering number of options. Who's right? Who's wrong? Christianity makes a unique claim. In the Gospels, you'll read about those whom Jesus raised from the dead, Jairus' daughter, and Lazarus, and so on. But all of those were to die again at the right time. But the Christian claim is that Jesus rose from the dead and is still alive. Romans 6 verse 9, Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has any mastery over him. Now there is much to admire in other religions, but as far as I know, you will not find this. that its founder died, rose again, and is still alive. The Buddha is still in his grave. You can visit Abraham's burial place. Muhammad died in 632. There's a tomb in Mecca, in Medina, and it's a place of pilgrimage for Muslims. Jesus, you see, can never be just one amongst all the religious leaders that there's ever been. If the resurrection is true, that makes Christianity unique, either uniquely right or uniquely wrong. But there's a third question that often we have. Is there life after death? We are fascinated and yet fearful of death. We scratch around for evidence, certainly, of survival. You read books about people who sort of have some sort of post-death experience and so on. But all the scraps of evidence pale into insignificance compared to this greatest survival of all. And before Francis Drake sailed around the globe, people used to fear that if you got to the horizon, you'd fall off the end. And that would be where the world ended. No one could believe that the real world really was round. Was there life beyond the horizon? Easter Sunday says, yes, there is life beyond the horizon of death. Now, as Christians, there are lots of questions we sometimes can't answer. But because of Easter, it means there's only one real question that actually matters. Did Jesus rise from the dead? If he did, then all these other issues, all these other questions are seen in a different perspective and in a fresh light. It offers answers to some of the toughest of life's questions. But secondly, I would say it's relevant because it meets some of our deepest needs. For the early Christians, and for Christians, of course, down the centuries, meeting the risen Christ has been a transforming experience. The fact of the resurrection has made a real difference to their lives, to the issues they face, the difficulties of everyday life. To give some examples again, what about that sense of guilt that we so often feel? It can be that we know we've failed in a particular way, like Peter did in the New Testament. Loss of temper or so, an act of deception, something we said we did, or that just general sense of feeling of having made a mess of life, of missed opportunities, of wrong choices, of wasted potential. The New Testament tells us that's why Jesus died, to deal with that problem. He was the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, a sacrifice for sin. But was it effective? Was it acceptable by the Father? Did it work, if you like? Can the stain be removed? Easter Sunday said yes. Easter Sunday is God's yes to Calvary. God's yes to what Jesus did and all that it means. Romans 4 verse 25. Jesus was handed over to die for our sins. He was raised to life in order to make us right with God. He died that we might be forgiven. He rose that we might know we can be forgiven. The resurrection is our guarantee. The passage we read in 1 Corinthians 15 spells that out, doesn't it? You know, if Christ has not been raised, then forgiveness is a delusion. Our preaching is useless, and there are those who've fallen asleep. It always makes me think of that whenever I preach. Some of our preaching is useless, and some of us have fallen asleep. God's redemptive plan ends in a tomb, if the cross was the end. Some of you went on the March of Witness on Friday, that's fine. I always have a slight issue that we go for a march on Good Friday and they only know half the story. We haven't told them the other side, that this Jesus who died on the cross is now alive and is risen again. You can't really have one without the other. You know, Jesus died that we might be forgiven and he rose to show that we can be. It's true. Or take, if you like, that feeling of inadequacy that we feel when we face some of the challenges of life that are a bit too overwhelming. How are we going to cope? And so on. Well, the resurrection tells us there's a new power available to us. That same power that raised Christ from the dead is available to you and I to live differently. God doesn't want us just to acknowledge the truth of the resurrection, to experience the power of the resurrection. The power that shattered death is available to you and I to help us to overcome that feeling of just not being able to cope with life. Or the experience of loneliness. The risen Christ brings his presence to heartbroken disciples. And they become courageous witnesses and martyrs of the early church. You could imprison them, you could flog them, you could beat them, but you could not silence them, you could kill them. The conviction that on the third day he rose again, and on the very streets of that very city where he was crucified, they preached boldly that he was now alive. This same Jesus who says to them and to us, I'm with you, always, to the end of the age. The risen Christ promises us forgiveness for the past, his presence for today, and new hope beyond the grave for the future. Because that's the final thought of the relevance of the resurrection, of course, is that it defeats our greatest enemy. Some years ago, there was an edition of Any Questions. And on the panel that day was Margarita Laski, who was a well-known humanist, an atheist. And the question came up was, what are the major problems facing mankind today? And she said, that's easy, and it was this. Oops, can't read it very easy, can you? I'm guilty, and I'm lonely, and I'm going to die. That's it. Those are the major issues, she said, that the world faces, that I face, that we all face. Death is the ultimate statistic, isn't it? One out of one dies. The Victorians were fascinated by it. We're frightened of it. We try to ignore it, but it go away. We cloak it with kind of conspiracies and euphemisms. Death is an embarrassment. But the reality remains. If Christ has not been raised, then death is the end. But our hope for the future is built on the event of in the past. Death has been swallowed up in victory, says Paul. Now, not that the resurrection negates that sense of loss and pain we feel when we lose someone we love. Death is still an enemy. It's a defeated enemy, but it's still an enemy. The resurrection doesn't cancel out the cross. The risen Christ still bore the scars of his crucifixion, the marks of the nails. Death still brings sadness to us, doesn't it? Separation, loss. And it's right to grieve when we lose someone we love. But as Paul says, we do not grieve as those who have no hope. For we have a new hope now because of the resurrection. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Does it matter? Well, at the end of the day, it's all that matters, really. Because on this, the truth of Christianity stands and falls. Without it, history has no purpose. Life has no meaning. Humanity has no hope. It does still have relevance, I believe, because it answers the questions that still today people are asking. It meets today the real needs that people still have. And it overcomes, defeats that enemy that we often try to ignore. But of course, the final relevance of it comes when we meet the risen Christ for ourselves. And we know he's alive because he lives within our hearts and lives. As a family, we're driving to church one Easter Sunday. And Dad was in the front, the kids were in the back. And he said to them on the way to church, today's Easter Sunday when we celebrate Jesus coming back to life. And the three-year-old sitting in the back said, will he be in church today? And he is in church today. Because he's alive. He's with us today. And offering those same things. Forgiveness. Peace. Hope. answering our deepest questions, meeting our deepest needs. The risen Christ is still in the neighbourhood, still available, meeting us, risen from the tomb. On Easter Sunday, 1960, the great Methodist preacher William Sangster lay dying. He was helpless, he was unable to speak. He was, however, to write, and he wrote a message on a piece of paper to his daughter Margaret. He wrote this: "It is terrible to wake up on Easter morning and have no voice to shout, 'He is risen.'" But then he went on to say, "All right, but it would be still more terrible to have a voice and not want to shout it." Today we celebrate Christ is risen, that he's truly risen, that he's risen indeed and meets us now. Let's pray together, let's pray. Father, there's no truth like this truth. There's nothing as transforming of life, eternity and everything as this truth, that Jesus died, that Jesus rose, that Jesus is alive today. And we affirm that truth together as central, as foundational to our life, to our faith and everything. By this we are saved. As Paul tells us, Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to his disciples. Risen Christ, meet me today, I pray. If there are questions I'm struggling with, help me to find the answers in you. If there are issues and needs I'm facing, help me to know you're there with me through them. If I'm afraid of what is to come in this life or beyond this life, help me to know that you are the risen Christ who has overcome, who has defeated death. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.